Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Your artist of the day on this Tuesday throwback to the 80s.
I want to show you a picture.
Okay.
There is a mom from Montana named Cynthia Arnold, and we'll post this on our website. You got to look this up. It's incredible. And I'm not a runner for a thousand reasons that you know, but this mom is, and she just ran a 3:11 marathon with a triple stroller while pushing 185 pounds.
What?
Look at that badass.
How old is she?
I have no idea. Do you know how heavy those triple strollers are with three kids in them? She is 35 years old. Finished the Missoula Marathon in 3:11 while pushing her three children in a stroller, unofficially breaking the Guinness World Record for fastest marathon ran while pushing a triple-person stroller. Mm.
She's a better person than I am. I can barely walk down the street anymore.
Man.
Same.
She was trying to break that record, by the way.
Okay. Update on the Jeffrey Epstein story.
Damn. Kids are ages 6, 4, and 1. They weren't even babies.
Shrieking was heard from Jeffrey Epstein's cell on the morning of his... Is something playing?
No, I don't think so.
Mm-mm.
Danny, you have the TV turned up. You're
I
listening to your husband.
Not.
Watch this.
Oh, I do.
All too easy. On the morning of Jeffrey Epstein's death, there was shouting and shrieking from his jail cell. According to sources, corrections officers attempted to revive him while saying, "Breathe, Epstein, breathe." Congress is now the latest to start investigating Epstein's apparent suicide over the weekend, with new reports raising questions about the federal jail where he was being held. We should point out one of the officers, corrections officers, that was watching over his wing.
Or not watching over the wing.
Well, yeah, fair point. Was a temp worker.
Well, but real quick, and if you missed our show yesterday in the, Sam, I don't remember, I think hour three, it's up on podcast.
It was the 2 o'clock hour.
We had a former warden.
That was the end of the 2 o'clock hour.
From New York call in and explain why there is such a staff shortage. It is real. And I found it to be a very interesting conversation. And it's a lot of different factors, but primarily there was a building boom in the 90s with prisons. We were building prisons. Just say no to drugs, right?
Not just federal and state prisons, but also private correctional facilities. For example, Michael Vick, when he was held up in Leavenworth, was not held in one of the public corrections facilities. He was held at a private jail.
So we build, baby build, all of these prisons, and we hire, baby hire, all of these people back in the 90s, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have a 20 or 25-year mandatory or offered retirement age in corrections. So the time is here. All of those people that were hired back in the 90s during the building boom of the prisons, there is a mass exodus of all of those seasoned workers. They're getting out. They're taking their pension. They're getting out. They cannot backfill those positions even if they wanted to. They cannot backfill to keep up with the exodus of those retiring. That's why we have the staffing issue. I thought it was a fascinating explanation.
But this is what I didn't understand about her explanation. We had no difficulty filling those positions in the 90s. Why are we having difficulty filling those positions when those people retire in 2019?
Would you want to work in a prison, Scott? And
no.
She said the wages were good.
Yep. She said that when I threw out just completely without any research, which is the way I live my life,
right?
That it was a $15 to $20 an hour job. She said I was wrong and I was way low.
The money is good, but think about this. We're not only asking people, hey, sign up, come work in corrections. Come work in a dangerous, sometimes scary profession. And not only are we asking people to come take these jobs, we're asking them to take the jobs during a period of extreme understaffing.
And good unemployment.
Right. So I would say that job seems dangerous under great circumstances, under a crazy staffing shortage. Are you kidding me? Who's going to take that job? The Epstein guards, it has been reported, one guy was on his fifth straight day of overtime.
Right.
Someone was a temp. It's not good, but I don't know how you fill those jobs, Scott. I would not want to be the hiring manager for anyone in corrections right now.
Why is being a corrections officer, I'm asking all of you guys, why do we put that below being like a police officer or something?
Let me look it up. I don't know how it works. They're clearly armed.
Because you would never say to me, would you not want to be a police officer? I mean, being a police officer is a prestigious,
yes,
honorable profession. Isn't being a corrections officer, therefore, if the argument is to continue, an honorable, distinguished profession? So when you say, why would you want to be a corrections officer? That would be like asking, why would you want to be in the Army? Why would you want to be a firefighter? Why would you want... And Scott, are you comparing a corrections officer to somebody in the Army? Yes, I am.
Okay, here we go.
It's a dangerous job that I don't want to do.
From 2017, okay, the education requirements of correctional and police are the same from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. The median salary for corrections officer is $43,000. The median salary for police and detectives is 62.
Well, but you're throwing in
detectives.
That's median. You also threw in detectives.
It's for correctional officers and bailiffs at 43. That's a pretty significant difference in salary, Scott.
That's a fair point.
It says the overall day-to-day responsibilities are quite similar. They enforce the law.
No, you babysit adults.
Oversee communities of people and do their best to make sure that everyone remains safe. Training is similar. Largest differences are in the details and the settings. Obviously, the correctional officers are in prisons and police officers
deny,
on the streets.
Would you deny that for whatever reason we put corrections officers underneath police officers?
Sure.
And I don't know why.
As if it's an easier job. I would argue it's a harder job.
I think the thinking comes in, okay, these people are in their cells, you have them somewhat restrained,
until they're out of their cells.
Right. Whereas when you're a police officer, everybody is, for lack of a better phrase, in the wild.
However, when you're a police officer, you're not always surrounded by people who are horrible human beings.
Oh, sure.
I don't know.
I'm just saying, I think that's where that comes from.
Kansas City, Missouri I think it was the FOP just released some video, and it's about 15 minutes long. And it was from a couple days ago in Kansas City. Officer tries to pull these idiots over in a car. Car speeds off and then starts firing. Actually open firing on the police car as the police. You can see the flash coming from the gun. And the chase goes all through the city. At one point, they're on 71 Highway over by 63rd. This was at 9:30 at night. Officer just trying to do his job, and these idiots open fire on the car. They did arrest all three in the car, and no one was injured.
Just real quick, Channel 5 is now reporting, and we'll get to your calls here in a second. This is a bizarre twist, and I'm sure there's absolutely no connection to this woman. However, they are searching some property in Cass County in connection with the man who walked in to a Legends hotel today and said, I've killed my wife, and then got into a shootout with police and ultimately was killed. The property that they're searching in Cass County is owned by Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler.
What?
That's what Channel 5 is reporting right now.
We had that at 5 p.m.
Sorry,
as well.
Sorry, I had to step out to go to the bathroom.
You're good.
I beg your pardon. Yeah. Now, of course, Vicki Hartzler had nothing to do with this, but it's just bizarre.
I texted Chris when he said the chopper was over this property in Harrisonville. I texted him and I said, what is the Harrisonville connection? I know that this poor woman is missing, has been missing since Monday, mm-hmm. is reportedly the wife of this idiot that went up to the Legends and started firing at police.
Overland Park Police have said that they're looking in a number of different rural areas, but not going into specifics. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it would appear that the one that we've talked about here is one of them.
Apologies for not catching that at 5, but I had to step out for a second. Had to nature called, you know.
It happens.
576-7798. We'll stare at Sam Stevie, Dana Wright. I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ.
Longer than there have been fishes in the ocean, higher than any bird ever flew.
I'm not sure this is an 80s song.
It is.
It is.
1981.
Oh, of course. I've been in love. Old Dan Fogelberg. Well, why are we playing this song, guys?
It's his birthday.
Oh.
Dan Day, is it?
It's Dan Day. He would have been 68 today.
That's it?
Yeah.
When did he die?
2007. Cancer.
At the age of 56?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. It was, I believe, his second round with it. And
I had no idea he had passed. I'm sorry to hear that.
Don't feel bad. You're not the only one who thought he was still alive.
I just didn't know he was dead.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
I know people that had him on the concert bucket list.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Was their name Will Sterrett?
No. Well, I mean, that too, but I already knew he was dead.
Yeah. Well, that's too bad.
Leader of the band from Dan Fogelberg?
Try again.
My other guess is going to be same old Lang Syne, which is a jam.
Well, I'm sorry?
It is a jam.
Oh,
can
God.
Can I just clarify real quick?
No, because we got to get on to the show.
Okay.
No.
Real quick, that is not a Christmas song. Even though it takes place on Christmas Eve, that is not a Christmas song.
It is a song that runs 24 minutes.
Well, it runs.
And we met up and.
It runs Mike, 5 minutes and 25
on
seconds.
And on.
It's worth it.
All right.
Worth
I get it. You're in the grocery store.
Stephen in Olathe. Hello, Stephen.
Hey, I've said it once and I'll say it again. Will, you are an amazing person. You know that?
You are too kind. Thank you.
So, corrections officer is for more or less better explained as a glorified babysitter. Mm. They have to endure the babiness of adulthood. And I think that they're paid way under what they should be paid.
Okay, so I'm reading when you say glorified babysitter.
Yes.
Initially, I wanted to read that as an insult. You actually don't mean it that way.
No, it's an insult to the inmates.
Yeah,
but you know, I wouldn't want to be there. You get these people who are like Epstein. Epstein, he's been catered to all of his life, and you know he's going to be screaming at his door. Hey, I want some fingernail clippers. Oh, I want some an emery board. I want this. I want that. I want maid service. You know, and they just sit. They go back to their station. They sit down and they ignore all the screams all day long. You know, and as for Epstein, this thing being a conspiracy. You know, I think that police officer, the former police officer inmate that he had as a cellmate, mm-hmm. told him exactly how life was going to be, and he made a choice. He didn't want to do it, and he killed himself. There's no conspiracy there.
Okay.
I agree with you on that. Let's go to, I want to hear from Rick real quick.
All right, Rick in Kansas City. Rick, hello, my friend.
Hi, Rick.
Hey, how are y'all?
Well, we're doing well. Thanks.
Yeah, I got in the car and I heard you talking about corrections officers. I was a correctional officer for 33 years, most of which was up at the Leavenworth Penitentiary. I wanted to, Scott, you said that Michael Vick was in a private prison. No, he did his entire 2 years at the camp there at Leavenworth.
Okay, and I will double check my work, but if you're right, I stand corrected.
The business with Epstein, the reports that there was a temp working, I can't envision the circumstances that a temp would be would ever work the galleries of a special housing unit. What I had heard was that the one guy was on his fifth overtime, and the other guy had been mandatoried into an overtime shift. Clearly somebody dropped the ball. You know, you're supposed to do in a special housing unit, you're supposed to do 30-minute checks. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to document those checks.
Regardless of whether, Rick, real quick, because we're short on time, 30-minute checks, regardless if somebody is on suicide watch or anything else?
Regardless.
Okay.
Suicide watch is even, the way we did it up at Leavenworth, we had someone sitting right in front of the cell making 15-minute checks and 15-minute log entries.
Okay.
And especially with somebody as high profile as that, I don't know.
All right. Hey, do appreciate your time. Thank you for the call, man. 576-7798, 576-7798.
Corrections guy on the text line who says, your last caller was right on. I was in corrections. I did suicide watch. I stood by the door for 8 hours and kept watch over the person on watch. 15-minute break in 8 hours for lunch. I used to work for the state of Kansas. And I asked, why would the states or the feds not just train cameras directly on every cell? So then you could have someone at least at a desk monitoring every single cell that needs to be watched.
And why would they give you a 15-minute break to go grab lunch? It doesn't take 15 minutes to kill yourself.
Well, but they just said they do cameras in segregation. Hmm. I don't know why, if he was so high profile, why not just train 3 cameras in there?
Because somebody wanted him to kill himself.
Now, you just love that conspiracy theory.
I believe
don't
it's
you?
True.
Love the conspiracy
yeah,
theory.
Yeah, the guy who tried to kill himself 2 weeks ago all of a sudden is no longer on suicide watch, yet he's got the goods on a lot of really powerful men. You watch. Will, glad you're on the show.
Thank you.
One of the preconditions of you joining the show is you had to stay.
Mm-hmm.
I want you, assuming you're going to stay, you are my witness.
Yes, sir.
I will be proven right.
Okay.
When I say this, mm-hmm. I can read the future when it comes to stupid.
I've heard this sort of thing before.
That it is going to come out at some point that someone was either told, threatened, ordered, or bribed to turn away from Mr. Epstein. And it is going to be because he's got the goods on a lot of rich and powerful men. I just want you to mark the date, mark the time.
Okay.
I've got it marked for you as well.
Thank you, gentlemen.
8/13/19, 5:37 p.m.
Correct.
I
will be proven right. I promise you. Jim in Carrollton. Hello, Jim.
Hey, Skyle. What's going on, bro?
What's up?
Hey, man. You know, on the first point on these COs, I've been in law enforcement, not corrections, and I'll tell you right now, these COs, man, they ain't paid near enough to deal with all the stuff they have to put up with. And when that first guy started talking about glorified babysitters, it kind of annoyed me, but then he explained himself.
Yeah.
I understand him now. But, no, I mean, these guys get gassed. I've been in law enforcement and military for over 30 years, been in some hostile situations, but at least I was packing, you know. These guys and gals are behind enemy lines every day unarmed.
Wait, wait.
They're unarmed?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Corrections officers are not armed.
Oh, hell no.
I assume, even at the federal level, man, I assumed that they were, Jim.
I mean, no, the guys who have direct contact with the inmates, I understand. But you see these guys in the guard towers and everything, aren't they armed?
Yeah, and the guard towers on the outside.
Oh, roll up that window.
Did
trucker.
You just get in a wreck?
No, that was my son. He pulled up with a lawnmower. Oh.
You tell him to be quiet.
In the guard towers, yes, on the outside perimeter, but, you know.
You're talking the guys walking the corridors. They don't have weapons.
They're behind enemy lines every single day. They get gassed by these inmates. They get all kinds of treatment against them. And you got guys and gals in prisons that have been sent to life. No, they're not getting out. All they got is 24/7 to think of ways to screw with the inmates or screw with the guards or try to get out.
Now, let me ask you two questions. Do the guards have any form of protection at all, like a billy club or anything?
Some do and some don't, because you have special response units, but you're talking several minutes before they get to them. I mean, the one.
So you're a sitting duck, is what you're saying?
Basically.
Okay. Number two. That's fine. You answer the question. Thank you. Is the term guard offensive to people who are corrections officers? Because more than five times this week, I've watched interviews with people who were either corrections officers or represent the union that represents corrections officers, and the anchor on the TV news channel would say guards, and they would immediately correct them and say, you mean corrections officer. Is the word guard offensive to people who are corrections officers?
Yes, because these are professionals trained, and they go through a lot more training than law enforcement do to deal with this stuff, because they have to deal with psychological stuff and things like that. And let me put it to you this way, Scott. You brought it up about Epstein killing himself. It only takes 2 to 6 minutes to suffocate somebody, whether it's self-inflicted or, you know, somebody else doing it. It's 2 to 6 minutes to incapacitate somebody, 2 minutes to incapacitate, 6 minutes to kill. So I don't care if you got 30 minutes, 10 minutes. You know, if he's going to do it, he's going to do it. But I think you're right. I think somebody paid to turn their head.
You think somebody was paid to turn their head? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, you said it, and I think you're right.
All right. By the way, a lot of people on the text line are saying, yes, guard is an offensive term. We are corrections officers. We are officers of the law.
So I found one article, and it's Huffington Post. It says guards inside of prisons should not have guns. That's pretty much an accepted fact, except in Nevada, and the results have been mayhem and death. And they talk about the guys that overcame the guard. The guard had the gun. And then you have prison inmates with guns.
Mm-hmm. That's bad.
But we were asking earlier, why is it so hard to get someone to do this job? So now you want me to go into a scary environment surrounded by very scary people.
With no defense.
With no defense. And we have a staff shorting in this industry. Mm-hmm. And then on top of all of that, we're going to give you a baton or whatever it is they carry. I just assumed they were armed. But I guess
I mean, why would you put a gun into a situation like that, especially with people who have nothing to lose? What are you going to do? Put me in prison for another life? When I take your gun away from you?
They have nothing to lose.
You? Yeah. What are you going to do? Give me life without parole again? 576-7798. Is line one crazy?
Line one is Rick again, saying he's more than happy to answer any questions that we have.
Oh, no, you only get to call him one time. One time only. Telephone number here is 576-779.
Yeah, they typically use tasers, gas, physical force, or simply try to calm the inmate down when there's an issue inside of a prison.
Somebody says, as a former corrections officer, we carry nothing but pepper spray, a radio, and our training.
No. This is why.
No.
When I asked earlier, why is it so hard to fill these jobs? That's the definition of insanity.
You know what they need to do is don't have, and maybe I'm just talking out of my you-know-what, don't have these guards in such close proximity to these prisoners. Open the doors, let them out for their hour, 2, 3 hour, 5 hour, whatever days they get. I don't know. If there's a problem, you run in a group of guys with guns. But otherwise, you just basically leave them alone.
Those people are then overtaken by the crazy homicidal maniacs that are in prison for a reason, then you have crazy homicidal maniacs with guns.
What I'm saying is you run in a group as you would if there was like a riot at a prison, okay? If there's a disturbance, here come the guys with the guns. Otherwise, we're going to open the doors. You get to walk outside. Don't cause any trouble, and you get to keep walking outside a lot. Cause trouble, you get to go into what is it called?
Solitary
confinement. Do you want a modicum of freedom? Then don't cause any trouble. Do you want to lose your freedom, cause some trouble, and force us to run in with guns? Otherwise, you guys can watch whatever stupid TV program you want. You can read whatever stupid book you want, or magazine, or newspaper. We're going to leave you alone. We'll open the doors at certain times. We'll close the doors at certain times. We're going to feed you 3 squares a day. You don't hurt our guards. You go outside and behave yourself, and you get a modicum of freedom. You break the rules, you lose your freedom. Period. End of story. You couldn't pay me to walk unarmed around a bunch of convicted murderers. Negative, Ghost Rider.
That's what
they do. That pattern is full.
That's what they do. We need to pay them 3 times the salary we are currently paying them.
Yeah. Somebody says, Scott, the prisoners have nothing to lose. They would still riot. It would just be an execution. All right. Bye.
Well, no, an execution of the staff members. That's where this becomes problematic.
Well, aren't you basically setting them up for that when you let them walk around unarmed? Hell no. Mm-mm.
Well, it would take a lot to overpower an actual riot crew.
You mean like the guys with the guns and everything?
With like riot shields and guns.
Yeah,
that would take a lot to overpower that.
Mm-hmm. So it's a simple solution. You put every prisoner in a 4x4 cell and you leave them there. You don't let them out. Okay. All right. Most people, unless you're like a midget, you're probably taller than 4 feet. I don't know that putting people in the crunch position in a cell is going to pass constitutional muster. Somebody said, I meant execution for the prisoners. Okay. Somebody writes in, Epstein was too much of a narcissist to kill himself. He must have been murdered. Okay. 576-7798. John and the others, hang tight. 576-7798. You put the boom boom into my heart. You send my soul sky high when your loving starts. Jitterbug into my brain. Goes to bang, bang, bang. Till my feet do the same. But something's bugging me. Something ain't right. My best friend told me what to do last night. Left me sleeping in my bed. I was dreaming, but I should have been with you instead. Wake me up. Gregory. What are you doing there?
How are you guys doing today?
Well, we're doing better than we deserve, I'll tell you that right now.
Yes, you are. I want to let you know, I do have a couple of changes for my show. I'll go ahead and send you an email on that, okay?
All right. Look forward to seeing that.
But, as far as the prison stuff you guys are talking about, a couple of things. What you said earlier about no or very little contact with the prisoners, I'm with you. A lot of these guys are, you know, pretty bad people. But so when you're not in prison, when you're free to do what you want, you can work and make money for yourself. Mm-hmm. If you are imprisoned, then I think that the prison should put you to work, either whether it's art or teach you a skill and, you know, building or something like that. And the proceeds.
Oh,
we're
no.
Losing you, Gregory.
Oh, no.
You lose me?
Oh, there you go. You're back. You're back. Go.
I'm back. All right. Yeah, I'm out in the country. But the proceeds to go mostly to the prison. Some of it can go into the commissaries, you know, for your work. But so rather than these guys just sitting on their butt doing nothing, put them to work or slave labor or something like that.
I will tell you this. I have a pro and a con on both of what you say. Being from Lansing, and of course we have the men's state prison in Lansing, it was not uncommon to see people who were considered minimum security prisoners in Lansing picking up trash on K7 Highway. And you would normally see them out there. It would probably be about anywhere between 5 to 10 guys. There was always a guard, of course, with a shotgun, just in case you decided it was time to make a run for it. But you were minimum security. You had more to lose by running than you did by staying there. Here's the only other problem with that. The guy, and I'm trying, it was in Tennessee this past week. He was a convicted murderer serving 20 years to life in prison. He was put on an outside lawn mowing detail. He just walked away.
Yeah, just walked away, lawn mowing.
Beat, raped, and killed,
allegedly. But why was he allowed to be on work detail if he's a murderer?
He should have been put on work
the
detail
work
inside
detail people
the prison.
Should be like, the white collar crime people or the low-level marijuana.
Theft.
They shouldn't be in there anyway, people.
Right. For whatever reason, they put him on outside lawn mowing detail.
Oh, God.
He walked away, allegedly beat, raped, and killed this older woman who lived not far from the prison, which is weird, by the way.
Because he stuck around.
That's right. And I think you've asked me before, because we would hear the sirens go off in Lansing. And people were always like, oh, aren't you concerned? I mean, you live right down the street from the prison. Aren't you nervous? We were never nervous. The last place an escaped prisoner is going to stay is in the town he just escaped from. They're always going to leave. And so what this guy did, if it's true that he beat, raped, and murdered this woman not far from the prison, I think is actually kind of unique and bad, obviously.
Well, yeah, tell it to her family.
Well, I understand that. I understand that. John in Columbia. John, hello.
Hello. I was a correction officer before I was a police officer. One thing that's true about being a correction officer is that you have to realize that at any point you can be overtaken. You're outnumbered. And that's true that they don't carry guns.
Do they carry any form of protection?
Whenever I was a correction officer, I was also on the CERT team, or what might be considered a SWAT team, that would go in for like riots and stuff like that. But your average guard, all he had was pepper spray, a handcuff, and a radio. That's it.
Well, John, stay safe out there, and thank you for the work that you did. Amen. And you do.
Amen. All right, we got to run. Thank you for tuning in. Don't forget, we're going to be doing our annual radiothon for the Salvation Army. I believe it is on Thursday. So make sure you tune in for that and help if you can. We got to run. On behalf of our producer today, Sam Stevie, she's Dana Wright. I'm Scott Parks. God willing, we're all back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night. Be safe and be good.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.